Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Boy, didn't they do a great job today? As always. As always. We want to honor those that has given their life for this country. So we have a video for Memorial Day, so I want you to pause and just for a moment.
Honor. As a verb, it means to observe with respect, to hold in high esteem, to admire. As a noun, it's about recognition, a distinction, a merit that deserves acknowledgement. Boiling it down, honor is all about respect, and our hunger for respect starts young. Accolades, achievements, promotions, trophies, titles, bonuses, blue ribbons. We scratch and scrape for them. Our honors, our accolades. However, there is one award, the most costly to ever exist. Yet no man or woman desires to achieve it. The Purple Heart. While many of the recipients are the wounded warriors living among us, today we honor the service men and women who received the Purple Heart for giving up their lives while defending our country. This award reflects the highest form of sacrifice, one's self. These service members sacrificed so that we can live free. Our country, our families, each one of us, we are all honored by their sacrifice. And today, we honor them by remembering them.
We get to have a day off tomorrow because of that. So even in the midst of a holiday, don't forget those that gave their life so that we have the freedom to be able to get together with our family, cook out, and do all those things that we'd certainly enjoy. Appreciate the freedom. But most of all, appreciate the freedom that Christ gave you through his death, burial, and resurrection. He started this whole thing about freedom, and he'll bring it to the fullness that it can be. But on the way, he told us to honor all men, all people. You know, we've preached on honor before several times, and it's one of those things that we really need to recultivate, and no longer lose the ability to honor people, because we really need to do that. We want to continue to pray for the Suttle family and Brandon and Rachel and Pat and all those in the family. We carry them and we love them and just continue to pray that the Lord will comfort them and strengthen them during all of these days. So let's just pause for a moment and ask the Lord's blessing upon them. Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name to undergird them with your presence. Lord, may they feel your tangible presence in every moment. Lord, in their weakness, let them see your strength. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Along with the Memorial Day, it's also the Ascension Day and the day that the Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit came to empower the people of God. So don't forget that. Understand that Christ's ascension and the Holy Spirit coming down to empower what we're supposed to be doing. How many of you need to be empowered by him? You know, we are, and we continue that need. Before I start the message, I want the elders to come forth. We want to pray for Nancy Thomas. She's having surgery. She's with us today. And she's having surgery Tuesday, is that correct? On her thyroid, and she's got a diagnosis, and they wanted to hurry up and get it out, so we want to pray for her. So you don't be a spectator, be a participant. You pray as well as we pray over her. By the way, this is Glenn. Y'all know Glenn Thomas? This is Glenn's better half. This is his wife, but everybody knows Glenn, right? Father, we thank you that you are the healer. You are the deliverer. You are the provider. So she stands in need today of you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just anoint her with oil and pray the prayer of faith. That's what your word tells us to do, instructs us to do. So, Father, we pray the prayer of faith of healing. Lord, that her body would be touched. This the thyroid issue, all the things that are not proper in her body, God, we ask you to deliver her from it. And Lord, that you would empower her to live the rest of her life with a strong testimony of who you truly are. And your provisions are at our fingertips. We just cry out to you and call upon your name and your provision. Because your word says, by your stripes, she is healed. So we proclaim that today in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed, Nancy, in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We love you. Trust me, I found my verses this week. Right, Gavin? Huh? That's good. That's good, ain't it? I did my homework. Gavin, I love him, man. I love the whole family. I love all of you guys. Turn to somebody and say, the pastor loves us. But as much as I love you, he loves you more. He really does. Galatians chapter 5, again, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at it in a sort of a little different way, but it's still the Word of God. But Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. It means there's no opposition to the fruit of the Spirit that is successful. Turn to somebody and say, there is no opposition to the fruit of the Spirit that is successful. And that's the truth, because there's no law against it. And we've been talking to you about how God packages the fruit of the Spirit for us in every situation, every trial, every difficulty, everything that we have. He has an invitation from him to partake in one of the fruit of the Spirit in that moment, in that situation. He's already provided for us what we need. We just need to activate it. Everybody say activate. We need to activate it. And we need to understand that, you know, last week we talked about you know, positioning our heart, fixing our heart over in Psalm 57. To fix our heart. My heart, David said, even though I'm going through all of these things, I feel all the weight of the opposition. He said, but I have fixed my heart. My heart is forever determined. My heart is steadfast. I fixed my heart. In one translation, it says, "O God, my heart is fitted and prepared, listen, for communion with you." I love that. I really do. My heart is fitted and prepared for communion with you. So we commune with the Lord when we participate in his love, his goodness, his patience, his long-suffering. We commune with him. It's not just that we, communion is not just that we partake in the elements representing him, but it's also our living each day with him. That is the true communion of our being with him. When we operate in that. So with everything that you're going through, there is an invitation saying, okay, it may be goodness, it may be patience, it may be love, whatever it is. There's something there as an invitation for you and I to be able to participate in that moment, to reflect who he is. So you and I can't do that in our own ability. Have you ever tried to be good? Have you ever tried to do good and not make it? You know, in our own strength, we just can't do it. That's the reason he came to die, to take away the old nature, to take away the sin, and to give us his new nature and his righteousness and his holiness, that we can live from that position. So a lot of people think it's impossible to live in the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it's not to God. And he says you can do it, because we can do it because we surrender to him. As long as we live a life of surrender, as long as we live a life that is fixed upon him, we'll be able to have the resources that he gives us to be able to live out what he's already put in. So a lot of us try to gain that love that we're supposed to have. We already have that love. We're just not using it. We're just not entering into it. So, but I just wanted to tell you that, and I want you to go to Psalm 62:5. It says this: "My soul waits silently for God. My soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions wait silently for God alone." Then it says, "For my expectation is from him." My expectations are from him. So if you have expectations that are not from him, you may be disappointed. Because sometimes our expectations are not his expectations. And we need to long and yearn and learn what his expectations are. Because the psalmist said, I'm waiting patiently. I'm waiting silently for you alone, God. For my expectation is from you. See, our expectation from God fixes our heart. We should have an expectation from God to be able to walk through every situation with his power. The power of the fruit of the Spirit. We should have an expectation every day. There should be an expectation from God for us to be able to walk in love, to walk in joy, to walk in the peace and the gentleness and the goodness of God. Do you know God is good? And what's the rest of that? All the time. And all the time, God is good. See, his goodness. We should have an expectation that every day that we wake up, the goodness of God is in us. His love is in us. We need to activate that. In every situation, you'll either activate the flesh or you'll activate the fruit of the Spirit, one of the two. So we've got to learn not to activate the flesh. When we activate the flesh, we're out of alignment with God. Doesn't mean we're lost. It means I'm not walking in alignment with him. My thoughts are not lined up with him. And when we activate the flesh, it actually gives us a thing that's called helplessness. And when we have helplessness, we sort of think we have the permission to quit. We have permission to give up. That's what helplessness is, and that's of the flesh. See, the enemy, really the enemy, when he talks to us, he normally uses the first tense pronoun. Like, he doesn't say you a lot of time. He puts a thought in your head, I. You hear what I'm saying? I'm worthless. He doesn't usually say you're worthless. He usually puts the thought of what you are. I'm messed up. I'm this. I'm an addict. I'm a loser. I'm this. I'm that. That is nothing has to do with, none of that has to do with God. But that's what the enemy likes to do. He puts thoughts in us for us to be able to entertain. I heard Billy Graham say this one time. He said, I cannot stop a bird from landing on my head. When it comes and it lands on your head, you can't stop it. But you can certainly stop it from building a nest in your hair. I think that's pretty awesome. In other words, just because the thought comes doesn't mean I have to meditate on it, reflect on it, and become whatever that thought is, especially when it's from the enemy. So the enemy's always wanting to tell us how bad we really are and wants to convince us to declare that, to speak that out and to pronounce that over ourselves. That's not the way of God. That's not the way of God. See, we can either listen to what other people have to say about us, we can listen to what the enemy has to say about us, or we can listen to what God has to say about us. And we really need to know what God says about us, what he says in his word, what he says about you, what he says about me. And we need to be able to get that inside us, because that's who we really are. Because he doesn't lie. So we have this thing about activating all this stuff, and it also when we misalign ourselves with God and align ourselves with a fleshly thought, fleshly way, it actually brings us to the point of theology that says God's a failure. Why? Because I didn't make it. So it's his fault. No. But see, that's the enemy. You know, God didn't help you here. God didn't do this. God didn't do that. And the enemy always wants to put that accusation in our heart that God failed you. God never failed you. Never has, never will. He's never failed you. We may not understand, but he has not failed us. We try to make up from being saved. We try to make the things happen that we need to live this way, need to live that way. We try to produce that by the flesh. And in Galatians 3:3, he says, having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to perfect yourself by the flesh? Then he goes on, he said, who has deceived you into thinking this and believing this? Who has deceived you to thinking this way? When you began this new life by the Spirit of God, being born of his Spirit, how do you think you're going to be able to perfect your new creation that you have? How are you going to be able to perfect it by the flesh? You can't. Even though we try, when we try to perfect it by all the energy that we can muster up, all the stuff that we can say, but yet we fail miserably because we're trying to do it on our own. Who has convinced you that you can? See, we think in our flesh that, oh, yeah, we got this. Well, we have nothing. Unless we have him, then we have everything. And operating in him and him operating through us and our willingness to say yes in any situation. See, how many of you have been through some real bad situations before? Just lift your hand. Just real bad situations before. You're still here. Because of God's glory, because of God's sufficiency. See, but when we activate the fruit of the Spirit in the situations that we get in, it elevates us to see things differently. People that are hard to love, when we begin to see God's love for them and God wanting us to love them the way God loves them, when we begin to see that, we see that from a different perspective. And that begins to empower us to love the way God loves. So we can either be opposed by all the things of the flesh and all the things that the opposition wants to bring us, or we can be empowered by the Spirit of God and His fruit. See, this fruit is extremely, extremely important in our life being lived so that people see Him in us. That's the whole thing. For people to see Him in us. And when they mistreat you and you don't react in the flesh, but you react by the Spirit of God, or you respond by the Spirit of God, they notice that. Because the natural world loves with a hook. His love is unconditional. It's relentless. It's abounding. There's more than enough love. See, our love that we create, this earthly love that we have, and the love that the earth does, always has a hook in it. How many of you are fishermen? Okay, or fisherwomen? But you fish. See, when you fish, you have a rod, reel, pole, whatever you're using. Then you have bait, and you bait. What do you bait? Where do you put the bait? On a what? Hook. See, going fishing, your whole intention is to catch, to gratify you, to either get something to eat, but to gratify you, to make you happy, because you can hold this little brim up, or this big mouth bass, whatever you call it. And that's the ideal. That's the reason I went. But see, God's way, and really, I'm more like God when it comes to fishing anyway, because all I do is feed them. I don't catch them. I just feed them. But see, he wants us to be like him. Fishing's not wrong, by the way. But I'm saying when you compare it to love, his love has no hook. His love has no agenda for him. His love keeps on going, keeps on being given. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you've done, no matter what, his love keeps coming. His love keeps existing unconditionally, relentless, abounding. That's his love. That's his love. His love never fails. It's unfailing. His love never fails. So you begin to see this, but see, you and I are, what we're doing is we're having our hook. That's what's in it for me. Well, you need to love these people. Well, what's in it for me? You need to be kind to these people. Well, what's in it for me? You need to be gentle to this person. Well, what's in it for me? You need to be patient. Well, what's in it for me if I'm patient? That's the hook. I'll give you all this, but I'm expecting something back. So he is in the process of you and of molding and making you and I in a place that we can live his love because we've been given his love. It takes God to love God. It takes God's love to love God. The reason you can love God is because he's given you that love. It takes God to love others without a hook. See, if we always have a hook, it's what's in it for us, and it's not God's way. So he's straightening out our hooks. We don't have agendas. We don't have something that we're after. See, the world is always after something. And this worldly love, it needs approval and it needs agreement. Don't give that love approval and don't give it agreement and it will be withdrawn from you. Do you hear me? You can have your love that has a hook in it because you haven't gotten what you want, and you will withdraw that love that you've been given because you've not been satisfied with what you wanted. That's not God's love. And that's what he's after in every situation. You've heard me say it before that, you know, if you've ever prayed, God, I really want to love people better. I want to love people better. Well, who's he going to send to you? The people that are hardest to love. He'll send you some people that just, you ever heard the word grates your soul? It irritates. This person may irritate you to no end. And that's who's coming. Why? Because you prayed, Father, I want to learn how to love people more. And there they come. Hello, Terry. I'm here to visit with you for a while. And I'm just like, Why? Because he's wanting us to be able to capture his love and love the person that seems to be irritating. So now you wonder why that certain relative is in your family. Why? He's just teaching you how to love people. Teaching you how to love others. And that's what he does. So we don't fulfill this in the flesh, we fulfill it in the spirit. And the reason that we all say, well, you know, I can't get it right. I can't get it right. Philippians 2 says this, verse 13. It is God who is at work in you. Boy, we're about to get the every prop knocked out from under us. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So who's working in you to both will his good pleasure and to do his good pleasure? Who's doing the work? God is. That's the reason he's sending you the people that you need. He's allowing the circumstances in your life to be there so he can work on you. He can work on you. Okay, let's just say this prayer. God, work on me. I know some of y'all didn't pray that. No, I'm messing with you. He said, and then he says right after that, do his good pleasure. He's working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Next verse. Do all things without grumbling and disputing or arguing. Do everything without grumbling, disputing, and arguing. Do everything. Do all things without. Now he said, I'm at work in you. Now don't grumble. I'm at work in you. Now stop disputing. Stop arguing. I'm at work in you. I mean, why didn't he pick something else? Why didn't he pick, you know, just be patient and I'll do it for you? No, he said, stop grumbling. I'm at work in you, so stop grumbling. I'm at work in you, so stop disputing. And then he says, here's the reason why. That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. God's at work in you. God's at work in me. God's at work in all of us so that we'll be able to, and without, to be able to do his good will and his good pleasure. As long as we don't grumble about it, we'll get it. As long as we stop arguing about it, we'll get it. He said that we'll be able to prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. This is Christianity 101. The whole purpose that he brought you into his marvelous light, into his kingdom, is to for you to be able to demonstrate his love, his gentleness, his kindness. But see, that comes with all of our maturity of walking in him, walking by the Spirit and not in the flesh. He said, you appear as lights to the world, holding fast to the word of life. What are you holding fast to? Another word? God's given you the word of life. He said, hold fast to the word of life. True? It's true. So this thing about love, and I just have a few minutes left. Thing about love, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Beautiful passage. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels... And if I'm able to speak what the angels speak and do not have love, and do not have love, I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. It didn't say that you'll be doing this. No, he said, that's what you have become. If you have the tongues of, I mean, you have all the education and you're able to speak eloquently, which I don't do, but if you have all of that and you're able to speak even what the angels are speaking, and you don't love, and this is agape love, this is his love, and you don't have that love being shown to other people, he says, you have become a noisy cymbal. You've become noise that is irritating. You ever been around one of those? Have you ever been around one of the people that is just clang, 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 clang? It's just a bunch of noise. Have you ever been around somebody that's that way? You know why you're around them? So God can show you how to love them. Even though they don't have love, God's given them to you so you can give them his love through you. Christianity 101. It's just his way. And if I have the gift of prophecy, oh, wow, I want that gift. Man, yeah, give me that gift. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries and know all knowledge, man, yeah, I want to be able to know that. I want to know all mysteries and I want to know, man, yeah, I want all that. Yeah, God, I want every bit of that. He said, and I have the faith. And I have all faith that I can remove mountains. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Gimme, 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 gimme. My name is Jimmy, so gimme, gimme, gimme. Yeah, matter of fact, there's a visitor back here. He said, he told me his name, and I said, well, I'm Jack. I have no idea why I said I'm Jack. But, brother, my name's Terry. And I told him, I said, if you find out who I am today, come and tell me, please. You know, so, but anyway. So he said, if we're able to do all that and don't have love, I am nothing, a zero. I am nothing, nothing. You know what that means? No value. I am no value. Even though I can prophesy, even though I know all the mysteries, even though I know all the knowledge, even though I can speak to mountains and move mountains and don't love, I'm nothing. I have no value. You see the weight that God puts upon love? You see the weightiness of his glory that he puts upon the fruit of the Spirit? See, that's his way. That's what he wants. And he goes on and says, if I give all my possessions, wait a minute, I don't know if I can do that or not. Yeah, but if I can give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, here's my body, here, just burn me. I'll give my life to be sacrificed. You know, but if I can do all of that and I deliver my body to be burned and do not have love, he said, it profits me nothing. There is no gain. There is no advancement for you because you've done that. Why? Because you do not have love. I watched a Any of you have ever heard of Rick Joyner from Morningstar? I was at a place, was at Adams and Mark Hotel at a conference, and there was about 2,500 people. And he stood up before 2,500 people, and he said, the Lord spoke to him the other day, and he said the Lord told him, he said, well, you're really known for teaching people how to prophesy. You're bringing value to the prophetic. He said, you're teaching people how to do this, and you're teaching people how to do this. You're known for that. And they are. They're known for that. But he said, the Lord told him, he said, but there's one thing you're not known for. And he said, well, what is that? He said, you're not known for loving people. He said, it broke his heart to be able to hear that. Because all of this ministry that he was doing prophetically, and that's what the Bible says, you can do all of this, but if you don't have love, he said, you're not known for loving people. Now, he said that in front of 2,400 people, 2,500 people. The humility in that was very humbling to do that. So here, are we known for our love? Bob Jones said, did you learn how to love? He said, he feels like one of the questions we'll be asking heaven, did you learn how to love? Did you learn how to love? Did you learn how to love? So we go on and we see that it says that love is patient. Here's what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not speak. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. In other words, it doesn't keep record of being wrong. Being wrong. It doesn't keep record of how many times somebody's wronged you. It doesn't keep record. Love doesn't do that. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. Do you love the truth enough to rejoice with it, even though it hits you right here? Do you love the truth that much? It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, God is love. You can put love, you can say God is patient. God is kind. God is not jealous. You can put God's name where love is because he is love. Here's the thing about it. Can you put yours? Can you and I put our name? When we read that about love, can we put our name there? Terry is patient. Terry is kind. You know, can we put our name there, being followers of Christ? And wherever we can't put our name there and it be the truth, and we can't put it there, that's where God's working on us at. It's an invitation, once again, to be able to take what he's given us and operate in it. God, the love is who God is, but it's not a common love. The world doesn't know about it until we give it. When we give the world that love that he's given us, they'll see it for the first time. This earth-connected love is based on approval and agreement. We said that before. And God's love doesn't stop because of our response or because of our behavior. It never stops. It always comes. It's always there. I'm going to share something with you. Well, 1 John 4 says this. We love him because he first loved us. So how can we love him? He first loved us. He gave us the love that we're to love him with. He's provided everything. I'm going to share something, show you something in the scripture that I hope will settle in you forever. You remember Luke 1:28, the angel approached Mary and he said, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now you would think, since she is the physical carrier of Jesus coming to earth, you would think that would be the only time that that was ever said to a person. That's the way I think. But that "you are highly favored" has been used two times in the scripture. This was one of them. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. And blessed are you among women. Why? She's going to be carrying Jesus in her womb. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. This is the other place that it was used in the scripture. Does it matter? Oh, it matters. It matters a lot. Ephesians 1, 6. The praise to the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. That's the other time it's used. That's the second time that that's used in the Bible. What does that mean? This made us accepted. It means highly favored. It means surrounded by favor. It means that you're deeply loved and you're greatly blessed. Why would He say that? The same thing He said about Mary. Why would He say that about us? Because we're carrying the presence of Jesus. We are carrying spiritually. We're carrying the presence of Jesus. Same thing that was said about Mary is said about you and I. Blessed are you. Rejoice. You're highly favored. You're greatly blessed. And there's no one else like you on earth, because we are the ones that's carrying who He is. We're the arks. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason He is able to say the same thing to us believers as He said to Mary. Only two times in the scriptures that was said. So He's saying the same thing about us that He said about Mary. I think that's, and I just saw that this past week. I just happened to look up that. And I saw it twice. And the other, once was for her, and the other time was for all of us. I am so taken back by that, that it's not going to leave me. See, Father loves us. The Father favors us. He protects us. He watches over us. So what we need to do is we can either hear what the world has to say about us, we can either hear what the enemy has to say about us, or we can hear what God has to say about us. And this is what God has to say about you and I. Well, I don't know that I believe that. Well, then you don't have to believe the truth. Flesh wants to oppose the truth. But we have to overcome that. We have to overcome the mind, will, and emotions that doesn't like it, and understand that this is what God's saying. This is the Word of God. So our declaration should be, I am highly favored. I am greatly blessed. And I am deeply loved. That is exactly what God is saying to you and I. That's what he says about, he said to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his ability to bring us to a place of being accepted, and his grace to bring us to a place to be accepted into the beloved, to be highly favored, to be greatly blessed, and to be deeply loved. Same thing he said about Mary. He's saying that about you. So say this. The same thing he said about Mary, God has said about me. Now that's a fact. That's the truth. That's the word of God. Now, are we operating in the fullness of it? No, but we're on our way. We don't have to work to get it. We just have to work it out to choose it. Stand with me if you don't mind. There's other things to say, but I don't have time to do it. I do believe that we need to get this down inside us. I think we need to rehearse saying things that God says about us. I think we need to say those very often to ourselves. Let it get deep inside us, that when we begin to walk and when we encounter these things, we'll understand that we're those things. So make the declaration. Make the proclamation. I am highly favored. I am greatly blessed. And I am deeply loved. Say it again. Say it one more time. I am highly favored. I am greatly blessed. I am deeply loved. And that's Ephesians 1, 6. Get up every morning with an expectation from God that throughout the day, every day that you live, you're going to encounter his presence and encounter his gifts being given to you, his fruit being given to you. You able to walk it out, because you can get up in the morning and say, I am highly favored, I am greatly blessed, and I am deeply loved. So you're loved unconditionally. He is relentless when it comes to loving you. And his love is abounding. There's no deficiency in his love for you. But I'm going through this. I am highly favored. But I'm going through this. I am greatly blessed. I'm going through this. I am deeply loved. None of that goes away no matter what you're going through. None of it. Because it doesn't depend upon your behavior. That's for him, by the way. That's for him. I'll join you. That's for him. All right, this is our prayer. This is our statement to God. This is our statement to the world. I am highly favored. I am greatly blessed. I am deeply loved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're free to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.